Welcome to one and all. Good to see everybody here, visitors. It's a blessing to have you. I'd like to sing with you all a song which ties in very much with some of the things that God laid on my heart. And it's just so interesting how God develops often the message with what happens throughout the week. And I had some interesting conversations and happenings throughout the week that led me to this message that I'd like to share. First of all, I was going to start out with a message on the two P's for the Christian walk. And they're very good vegetables, peas. No, but it's... And then God led me from that to something else, so because of things that were happening. Let's turn to, in your hymn book, hymnary, to I'm Pressing On the Upward Way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And I think for sake of time, I'd like to sing just the first two verses, okay? No soul, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, of God in Christ Jesus. And then James, these are some of the things I'll be touching on. James 3:17 talks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness coming from our lives. It was one of the P's that I was thinking about. If I would ask you this morning what perseverance means, what would come to your mind? Well, some of the things that came to my mind were endurance or persistence, but even those words may be too big for some of us, for me. So let's use an illustration this morning. What does it take to finish a long race when you are tired? Now, I remember years ago, our phys ed teacher in high school said, and I think he may have done this for a little punishment for us because, you know, we were mischievous, causing trouble in class. And so he sent us all around a huge field, and he wanted us to run, I don't know how many times. And so we started running, and as I was running, I started out pretty fast. It didn't take me long, and I was short-winded. And I didn't want to be the last one, so I pressed on with all my might. And then pretty soon my legs got numb. My whole body got numb, and I felt like I was going to collapse. And I ended up not being the first one, but I was not the last one either. But it was hard, and I was exhausted. I was heaving, and I didn't have the perseverance to run ahead of the one that was in the lead ahead of me. What does it take to finish a long race when you are tired? You might say strength or a big desire or trying hard. Well, that's what perseverance is, having a big desire to finish something and trying hard and getting strength to do it. So, if you are standing by the roadside of the end of a race and you want to encourage your favorite runner, so I was trying to pick out a favorite runner here this morning. I thought of Brian. So you're my favorite runner this morning. And if I would holler out at you, Brian, as you're coming around the bend and I'm standing by the road, Brian, persevere. Of course, everyone would probably look at me kind of weird. What's he saying, persevere? What's that got to do with a race? Well, what I should be saying is, Brian, hang in there. That's what I like to speak about this morning is hang in there. I want this message today to be a message of encouragement, a message for you to press into maturity and not be happy where you're at in your walk with Christ. So, Brian, what is the meaning of perseverance? Hanging in there. Perseverance means hanging in there, if you want to put it in simple terms. So we are going to talk about the biblical teaching of the hanging in there of the saints. So what does the word saint mean? Saint simply means real Christians. When Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he simply says to all saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, a saint, I used to think a saint was a special group of people and that I didn't qualify to be one. A special group like martyrs or preachers or missionaries. No, saints is just another name for people who are truly born again and who have a saving faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a saint. And that's who I want to encourage this morning, the saints. And if you're not following Jesus this morning, you haven't made him Lord of your life, I encourage you to make that decision today that you could join the saints. So we're going to think about the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. And that is the Bible teaching of hanging in there, the endurance and persistence of people who are true Christians. One reason why I was thinking a lot about this message, and I want to encourage, because I sense so much among believers that they are tired. Many of them are. Because let's face it, there are a lot of pressures on us as believers every day. And we get tired. And sometimes we just want to chill somewhere and not get into and press into what God is calling us to do. I was talking with a believer as I was doing a water service job this week. And the first time I met him, which was many years ago, he appeared zealous for the Lord. He appeared excited about his walk with Jesus. And so I hadn't seen him for a while, and so I did the service work, and God laid on my heart to encourage him. because I didn't sense that same zealousness. He seemed tired. He seemed like he put it on pause, his life with Christ. Just pause for a moment. But you know, we can't put it on pause in this Christian walk. Either we're pressing in or we're drifting. There's no place to put it on pause. And I felt that with him. And so I looked at him and I said, "Hey, Jeff, how's your walk been?" He said, "My walk?" "Yeah," I said, "your walk with the Lord." "Oh." Right then and there, I knew that. "Well," he said, "we haven't been going to church for a while, but I still believe we are still walking." I said, "Well, are you doing the Enoch walk?" He looked at me, "Enoch walk? What's that?" I said, "Enoch was pressing in every day, and he pressed in so much that he just walked right into heaven with Jesus. He never had experienced death. He was so faithful, and he was so in tune with God and communing with God continually." And he looked at me and he said, "Okay." And he thanked me. And then we left. Or I left. And later on in the week, I got a text from him. And he said, "Thank you, Jim, for being a light to me." In other words, thank you for encouraging me. And God has called us to encourage one another as his saints. Because there are times we get tired, as a Hebrew writer says, our hands hang down and our knees get wobbly. And we want to pull out of the race. Hebrews 3:6 suggests that we're losing our grip on our confidence and hope of the future. It goes on to say in Hebrews 6, the last part of the verse, "We are his house if we hold fast our confidence and pride in our hope." If we hold fast and not let go. So evidently there was danger in the church that the Hebrew writer was writing to. There was danger that they were not holding fast, and there was little confidence and little hope anymore in their commitment. You know, the Hebrew, the book of Hebrews is a book of, there's so often it talks about persevering, so often about be careful, you're falling. Be careful of an unbelieving heart. Be careful of a hard heart. Be careful of being deceived. Drifting, neglecting, letting slip. This is the opposite of perseverance. The opposite of hanging in there. Hanging in for the long haul. Scripture does say that it is not just a short little haul. It's a long haul. It says, "He that endures to the end." He that hangs in there to the end will be saved. Drifting, neglecting, letting slip. This is the opposite of perseverance. The opposite of hanging in there over the long haul. Hebrews 13 goes on to say, I'll just read it here quickly. Goes on to say, see if I can find it here. Read it so I don't try to quote it with my memory and say it wrong. Take heed, in verse 12, "Brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief And it's amazing how quickly we can fall away and come to that point that we don't really believe the words of Jesus and of the Bible. And we often choose to look at other things other than just absorbing and pouring ourselves into the Word. But an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You say, no, I would never. Well, I don't know if Jeff was there, but Jeff was getting, he said, we're not going to church anymore. And it was just like he was slipping and he was losing his grip and he wasn't holding fast like he once did. Departing from the living God. But listen to the next verse. It's something that God is calling us all to do to each other and to people that are believers. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday, about how easy it is for us to become hard. We don't even realize it's happening. And the Word of God doesn't penetrate deep into our hearts anymore. Kind of bounces off. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Psalm 95 says the same thing. If you hear today and you feel a stirring within you, do something about it. Don't let it go and continue to slip. Because what happens is your heart gets harder and harder, and it's very hard to break that hard. As Joel says, break up your fallow ground. It's hard to break up that fallow ground if your heart has come to that point. And it's so sly. You could say, take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from a living God. Their drifting and neglecting and slipping could result in a falling away from the living God that Hebrews or the Hebrew writer is talking to the church. You know, it's interesting as you study through this book how much you realize that he had a desperate burden, the writer. He had a desperate burden that this church was falling and slipping and losing their way and ready to quit. Is that where you're at this morning? Have you come to the point where you're slipping and you can hardly hold on anymore? I'm here this morning to encourage you. Hang in there and make a decision today to press into the Word. Listen to the voice of God and say yes. Don't harden your heart, because you may come to the point of no return, as Hebrews goes on to say that Esau came to the point of no return. He was so hard, it said he even sought it with tears, but he had gone over the boundary. And we could all be there. You know, God wanted to pour grace into Esau, but he was so much thinking of the moment of hunger, so much the moment of delighting himself with some food, that he missed the grace of God, that God was at that moment hoping that he would choose him rather than something that was delighting his own flesh. And he chose that. And he missed the grace of God, because it goes on to say in Hebrews 12, to diligently allow the grace of God to keep you from slipping. Hebrews verse 13, it says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, I could have chose a different conversation with Jeff, and I was tempted to just to say, you know, the weather looks like it's going to really change. You know, often we like to take something that's non-confrontational and choose that instead of what God is pressing us to say. And we push that away, and instead of exhorting somebody that God is laying on your heart to encourage, you give them something easy to deal with. And God just so much pressed it on my heart. Jeff isn't the same. Talk to him. Talk to him about his walk. Exhort one another carefully. You could keep someone from drifting away to the point of falling away from the living God. And keeping someone from becoming hard by the deceitfulness of sin. The church had lost the urgency of exhortation in their daily conversation. How about you and me? Have we lost the urgency that God has put within us in our daily conversation with each other? It's so easy to do small talk, isn't it? And to avoid doing what God is pressing on your heart. Hanging in there with confidence is utterly crucial if we hope to finish the race. In the beginning of the chapter 12 of Hebrews, we all know the familiar verse where it says, in running the race with patience, lay aside every weight that keeps us. And sometimes one of the weights that presses in so heavily in our walk is discouragement. And you know, if we allow that discouragement to overwhelm us, it can take us down a road of choosing things to try to push away the discouragement instead of dealing with the discouragement in our heart. David says in Psalm 42, he says, why is my soul cast down with care? And why is my soul disquieted within me? And then he goes on to say, hope thou in God. Don't be overwhelmed with discouragement. Turn away from it and begin to hope in God and begin to claim his promises and begin to allow him to encourage your heart instead of swimming in discouragement and making horrible choices in your walk because of it. I was there. I mean, went through a terrible church situation, and I thought, what's the use? I felt like quitting. What's the use? There's nobody out there that's real anymore. There's nobody out there that's truly born again. So what's the use? I wanted to quit. But God's Holy Spirit came into me, and David's words came into me. Why is your soul cast down with care? Hope thou in God. Quit looking at others and look to God. You look at others and your circumstances and dwell there, you will continue to drift away. Let's look at more images the Hebrew writer gives us of what's wrong with this church that he's writing to. He goes on to say, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may be put out of joint, but rather be healed. The race has run a long time and the Christian runners are tired, so their hands are hanging down and their knees are wobbly and they are on the brink of being totally incapacitated and a leg going out of joint. and pulling out of the race. It's interesting. He says, make straight paths for your feet. And he goes on to say what those straight paths are. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Follow peace with all men. Peace, when you have peace with God, you will have peace with men. Holiness is something that God, and we just heard about it with some of you men talking about sanctification, allowing God to do His work, His design in our lives. His design for us is to bring forth holiness and sanctification as we allow Him, sometimes through chastening, sometimes through speaking to us by His Holy Spirit from someone else, to bring about that sanctification within us. So the two go together. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So now we have a sense of what's wrong with this church that Hebrew writer is talking about. They are drifting. Instead of rowing against the current of sin, it's easy to drift, isn't it? You know, it's amazing. Sometimes when I would go out with my... I remember one time going out with Chad. We went fishing and we just let our boat drift. It was easy. And all of a sudden we were way off course, just drifting. It was harder to row. And that's the way it is in life. Don't take the easy way, because the easy way is not always the easy way. They are drifting instead of rowing against the current of sin. And that means drifting backwards toward destruction. Number two, they are neglecting the great salvation that Hebrews talks about. They are neglecting the great salvation they claim to have, and that they did have at one point, but they're losing it fast. Number three, their grip on joyful, zealous hope is slipping. You don't see the joy anymore. Where is the joy? Jesus said, I want my joy to be full in you. And that means you are confident in your relationship with Him, and there's so much hope bursting in your soul. Number four, their hearts are hardening to the truth of God's Word. Number five, their conversation is losing its spiritual urgency. There's not an urgency anymore in their conversation. Their ears are getting dull. How are your ears today? Are they dull? Are you hearing what God is saying? Number seven, they are losing their desire to press on the upward way to maturity. Number eight, they are becoming weak and sluggish. Where are you at, brothers and sisters? And where am I at? And the result of all of this is that they are in danger of shrinking back from the beginning they had made, becoming hardened to spiritual things, falling away from the living God, and losing their souls. The opposite of all of this is what? Brian. Perseverance. Hanging in there. You're my favorite runner. Zealous, glowing, and growing Christians. That's where we need to be pressing toward. There are two alternatives for those of us who claim to trust Christ. We have two alternatives. And one is to press on toward maturity in knowledge and faith and hope and holiness. The other is to drift slowly into indifference and dullness and eventually destruction. And one of the great errors of this church is they thought, and sometimes we think, that there was a halfway point in the race where we could just stay there and pause as professing Christians, not pressing forward and not drifting backwards. We can just stay right in the middle. But there is no such place. I want to tell you that this morning. There is no such place. That's the point of the book of Hebrews. Either we press on toward the inheritance or we drift backward toward destruction. Instead of drifting, let's make straight paths for our feet. Follow peace with all men. One commentator says, pursuing peace with all men and pursuing holiness. That sounds urgent, that sounds zealous, and that sounds like someone is pressing in. Allowing God's design for our lives to bring about sanctification and His holiness within us. What I long to leave with you this morning is a strong sense of urgency that there is no standing still in the Christian life. Either we are persevering toward greater faith and holiness, or we are drifting backwards toward hardness and destruction. Number two, an equally strong and urgent sense that this perseverance is to be pursued with joyful and full assurance of hope that we will inherit the promises because of the faithfulness of God. So what does perseverance mean, Brian? Hanging in there. Amen. I didn't mean to pick on you, but I had to think of somebody that's been faithfully walking. And I'd like to close with this verse this morning. It's the words of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." God wants to heal us. Heal us of the wobbly knees. Strengthen us as the hands are hanging down. You know, I have one more thing I'd like to share. I couldn't help but think of the moment that I was at a swimming hole with my two brothers. We were having a blast swimming together, and all of a sudden, I was on shore, and I looked up, and I saw my brother Wayne struggling. He went down. I think he got too tired. His hands were really drooping. He got tired, and he just wanted to relax a minute. Instead of floating, he went straight down. He came back up, sputtering and gasping for air, and yelled help and went back down again. And he came up the third time, and I was terrified because I had remembered hearing someone say, "You go down three times, you probably won't come up the fourth time." And I desperately looked around and said, "Hang on, hang in there." And I desperately looked around, and I found an old inner tube laying there. I guess God must have put it there. I took it, and I threw it with all my might, and it landed right beside my brother as his hand came up one more time, and he grabbed the tube. And he was saved from drowning. It scared me and terrified me so much. But that same desperation is what God is calling us to today. Moments that we live with others that are drifting, it's desperate. We can't just talk about the weather or talk about some easy talk. No, we need to carefully figure out a way by the working of the Holy Spirit within us to give words that would help someone to quit drifting and losing totally their way. That's all I have. God bless you all. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're at one of those places, don't walk away and not determine in your heart that you're going to choose to change and ask God to give you the strength and get in and press into His Word and allow Him to turn it around for you. It's Jesus who turns it around. It's His Holy Spirit. We'd like to turn it around with our own hands in someone's life, but it never works. It's God's work in His Holy Spirit that wants to do the work. But we can point someone that direction by carefully exhorting. Life is a serious thing. And if someone is losing their way and you're just closing your eyes, please open your mouth as the Holy Spirit gives you direction. Is there anyone that has anything you'd like to share before we close the service? So what's the meaning of perseverance? I want to hear it from you. Hanging in there. Amen. All right. If you want prayer, if you want to talk, if you want to hear words of exhortation from God's Word and pray, I'd be glad to do that with you this morning. Let's rise for closing prayer. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word. It's so rich, it's so precious, and it instructs us so carefully on how we can walk, how we should walk, and to check our hearts to see where we're at this morning. Are we slipping? Are we drifting with the tide? Are we pressing in the upward way, as Paul talks about, and new heights gaining every day? Bless each one this morning, Father. And if there's someone here that does not know You and has not made You their choice, Lord, I pray this morning would be the morning. It's afternoon now, but Father, I pray that nobody here would harden their heart today to Your Word, that they would allow it to break up the fallow ground. And if there is a hardness of heart, Lord, that it would become soft, that You could pour Your Word into their lives and Your Holy Spirit, Father, by His power to change them. Direct our steps this week. Bless each one for being here. Just bless Your Word, and may it bring forth fruit, Father, by Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.